Journal Radio, the Midwest's radio home for the outdoors.
Online at sportingjournalradio.com.
Welcome to the show. I'm Brett Amundson. Thanks for tuning in across the Sporting Journal Radio Network, online, sportingjournalradio.com, or by subscribing to the podcast. This week, Joe Henry from Lake of the Woods Tourism. Also, Ben Putnam. He and I and Jamie Dittman and some other friends went up to Lake Superior to chase lake trout. We'll let you know how that went. We'll also check in with Nick Negrini from the Midwest Chapter of the Wild Sheep Foundation. They have their annual banquet and fundraiser this weekend. Details about that coming up. And Curtis Blake from Hay Bale Heights Campground and Resort in just a second. This week's show brought to you by Tazen Lake Lodge, Trophy Lake Trout, and Northern Pike in northwest Saskatchewan, TazenLake.com. Brought to you by Prairie Sportsman. New episodes return to Pioneer Public Television Sunday, March 24 at 7:30 p.m. By the Midwest Chapter of the Wild Sheep Foundation, MidwestWildSheep.com. By Lake of the Woods Tourism, LakeoftheWoodsMN.com. And also brought to you by Hay Bale Heights Campground and Resort, HayBaleHeights.com, where Curtis Blake is right now moving snow. Well, there's great ice. It's just a little sloppy on top of the ice where we're at. What's it like over there, Curtis?
Hey, you still got time, Brett. We still got quite a bit of season left here, I'm thinking. Our ice is still very, very solid. What we're seeing a little bit of issues right now has been because we've had so much snow this year, which has made these snow bears we run at Hay Bale Heights, you know, so appealing, because getting around on top of all the snow has been tricky. So now what we're seeing is the snow is turning wet, heavy, starting to weigh down on the ice. We're starting to see some slush. You know, we got the slush pockets, make it a little bit difficult when you're drilling, you know, down through the snow bear to get into that. It takes a little bit more time, but it's still the most efficient way to be out there drilling right now. But plenty of good ice still.
Absolutely. How's fishing been?
Fishing has been, you know, I said it the time before too, you know, we're still seeing a lot of hit and miss days. It's absolutely bizarre to me, you know, as a longtime fisherman out here on Devil's Lake, that that we're having as many good days, you know, back to back with a bad day. I mean, and then a good day and then a bad day. You know, we're seeing averages, you know, still trying to keep happy with those half limits, you know, 10, 12 fish per guy. And there's been a few days we haven't even been able to get quite that. But then all of a sudden one day these fish will just fire up and we have an absolute melee. So, I mean, the bite is still there. And it, to me as a fisherman, from what I know, these perch are getting ready to do their spawning. It is time for them to put the feed bag on. So as the water starts getting churned up, you know, which is, you know, hard to believe through the ice, but what's going to happen is all this runoff is going to run through the cracks, all the slush water, and it should oxygenate that water a little bit, which in turn, with the timing of the year, with the perch getting ready to spawn, should trigger a really good bite here coming up. At least that's what we're hoping.
It's always funny when you talk about half limits being, you know, 10 to 12 fish.
Oh, I know. Right?
I'm happy with 10 to 12 fish, especially those jumbo perch, man. Those are some of the best eating fish, and they're fun to catch.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you get into those, you know, 11, 12, 13-inch perch and then bigger. You know, they eat just as good, if not better, as far as meat portions compared to like a 15, 16 inch walleye, you know. And if we're fishing the shallow water, yes, of course, we'd love to throw those bigger ones back. But, you know, when we're out fishing these 35, 40 foot depths, you know, even the little ones, the 5, 6, 7 inches that we pull up, a lot of times we're putting those in the bucket towards limits too, because, you know, they're coming through that deep water. They're probably going to die. And, you know, we like to be sportsmen about it. Keep them good.
Absolutely. So you're chasing the perch during the day. Still got a good walleye bite in the morning?
Still have an excellent walleye bite in the morning. I caught a hog the other day. Again, I think I've got 3 or 4 now. Really nice fish. You get 1 or 2 a day. And unfortunately for my clients, I've been the one pulling the big one in the last couple of days. But, you know, it's just about the hole.
It's the way it works sometimes. Know. That's right. Isn't it funny? Yeah, you can have one hole and have another hole, you know, 5 feet away. And it's funny how, and you can be doing the exact same thing, exact same lure, but sometimes it's all about which side of the snow bear you're fishing on.
Sometimes it's that, sometimes it's just about how you wiggle that worm, you know.
You gotta
have that right stroke sometimes, and, you know, we try to do our best to teach those clients how to do that, and, I mean, we do well with it, you know, teaching guys that have never caught fish through the ice or have never been ice fishing. I can't believe how many people this year we've had come through that have never been ice fishing, but they pick it up pretty quick.
There's always something to learn.
Even as a guide, take it from me as a guide going out there 80, 90 days a year, I've had days where I can't seem to get them to bite me when I'm on, like, the perch. Yeah. And I don't know why, you know, and I got guys that have never fished before. here they're pulling them slamming in. And them. I have to ask them, what are you guys doing?
That's right.
And they say something like, oh, we're holding it dead still. I'm like, okay, well, that's, I've been jigging, power jigging them, trying to get them to bite. So I slow it down and I start catching some. It all depends on the temperament of the fish.
Yeah. I've done that many times where I've brought somebody out that's never fished before and they're just sitting there, they're looking at their phone or they're telling stories. They're not jigging it at all. And they always end up catching the biggest fish. And you go, hey, yeah. Well, maybe I should have a dead stick down there, you know, or maybe yeah, I'm jigging it too much. Well, Curtis, if people want to come up yet before winter ends and fish out of a snow bear at Hay Bale Heights or start thinking about summer fishing, what can they do?
Like I said, you guys can check us out on Facebook. Still posting on there as much as we can. Just give us a calling time. More than happy to help anybody out with some last minute fishing trips if they want it.
HayBaleHeights.com. Curtis Blake, thanks for the time here on Sporting Journal Radio. If trophy lake trout and monster northern pike are on your list this summer, book a trip to Tazon Lake Lodge in northwestern Saskatchewan.
Everything from numbers to big fish.
See pictures, videos, and more at TazonLake.com.
This is quite the fishery.
Our five-star chef will feed you well after a day of chasing giants on Tazon Lake.
Dream come true.
Get rates, dates, and more of what you can expect.
It could be the best fishing you've ever had in your life.
At TazonLake.com. That's TazonLake.com.
Here it is, one of the nicest places in the world, I feel.
The ice is strong and the bite is on. Welcome to the walleye capital of the world. Welcome to Lake of the Woods. With over 50 resorts and motels to stay at, Lake of the Woods is a winter destination trip that deserves to be on every angler's list. Bring the family too. Book a fully guided trip in a heated fish house or do it yourself. Don't leave the snowmobiles at home either. The Lake of the Woods area offers hundreds of miles of groomed trails to spend the day on. Come visit the walleye capital of the world. Come visit Lake of the Woods. Plan your trip at lakeofthewoodsmn.com. That's lakeofthewoodsmn.com.
No matter how cold, no matter how much snow there is, the perch don't stand a chance.
Fish legendary Devil's Lake for their famous jumbo perch and walleye in the warm comfort of a snow bear at Hay Bale Heights Campground and Resort. Fishing for perch requires mobility, and you can't get more mobile than a fish house with tracks. The snow bear fleet is on the ice every day at Hay Bale Heights, and you could be too. Every winter requires a trip to Devil's Lake, and there's no better way to do it than in a snow bear at Hay Bale Heights. Visit HayBaleHeights.com to book your trip today. Sporting Journal Radio is brought to you in part by Pioneer Public Television, producer of Prairie Sportsman with myself, Brett Amundson. Prairie Sportsman celebrates our love of the outdoors as we hunt, fish, and recreate while working to protect our valuable natural resources. Watch Prairie Sportsman Sunday nights at 7:30 on Pioneer Public Television, Thursday nights at 7:30 on KSMQ in the southern part of Minnesota, Saturdays at 2:30 on Lakeland Public Television in the north, or watch reruns Tuesdays and Thursdays on the Minnesota Channel broadcasting throughout the region, or at PrairieSportsman.org. Help support conservation efforts Friday and Saturday, March 15th and 16th at the Midwest Chapter of the Wild Sheep Foundation's annual banquet and fundraiser. This year's event features speaking seminars from Tom Hoffman, the modern-day mountain man Billy Moles, and more. This year's auction includes sheep tags in North Dakota, South Dakota, and more. Exhibitors get your business in front of their members as well. Friday and Saturday, March 15th and 16th at the Minneapolis Marriott Southwest in Minnetonka. Learn more at MidwestWildSheep.com. That's MidwestWildSheep.com. Back Sporting Journal Radio. I'm Brett Amundson. Now we're going to head up to Lake of the Woods and check in with Joe Henry, who's actually right on the bank of the Rainy River right now, right, Joe?
Yeah, you know, I'm sitting working on my computer, and I'll tell you, my office couldn't be better. I'm overlooking, I'm looking across the Rainy River at Canada. You know, every once in a while, I see a snow machine will go by and stuff, but I mean, it's just beautiful up here, you know.
Well, you had a lot going on. I mean, I always think I travel a lot, and then I talk to you each week, and you seem to be always in someplace different. A lot of times up at Lake of the Woods, which is nice, but you're back and forth a lot, and you've got a couple events that have been taking place up there this week, Joe.
We sure have. You know, we just hosted the USA Plowing Organization, and you know, as many of your listeners know that listen to your show, you know, Lake of the Woods is hosting the 2019 World Plowing Contest. This year, August 30 through September 1 here at Lake of the Woods, 32 countries will be competing in this World Plowing Contest, which is a very, very big deal amongst many of the ranks, and it's getting a lot of attention from folks in farming and agriculture around, you know, not only the world, but also certainly the United States and Canada. And, you know, we hosted the USA Plowing Organization's annual meeting, and as part of their annual meeting, people from all over the United States were here. You know, we had about 35 people, I think, and you know what? They went ice fishing for about a half day. And I'll tell you what, it was pretty interesting. A lot of these people had never ice fished before. So first off, they were kind of tentative about driving out onto the ice.
Sure.
And then when we got out there, you know, I gave up my a lot of my ice fishing rods for them to use. And then the resorts had some. And, you know, I was in a house, Brett, with a husband and wife. In fact, this competitor, he's actually going to be one of the two people that represent the United States in the world competition. He was with his wife and his two children, and they were in a fish house. And I was just kind of showing them the ropes as far as how to jig and how to hook a minnow and all this good stuff. And he was actually using the old time jiggle stick that had no reel on it.
Sure.
You remember those?
Oh yeah. Yep. And the line, there's like two pegs on the side that the line wraps around.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? Yeah.
So it was kind of fun because when his son was bringing up a sauger, the way he was bringing it in was wrapping that line around those pegs to reel it in. And I said, no, what you can do is just set your jiggle stick on the floor and then go hand over hand and try to stack the line as you pull that fish up. Well, just after that, I was kind of talking to his dad, Dale, and, you know, his rod tip went down a little bit. And I said that it looks like a fish. Get ready to set that hook if it goes down again. So it went down again. He set that hook. And I tell you what, the fight was on. And I saw his rod bend. That jiggle stick just almost bent in half. And I said, you got a nice one on there. You know, you better be careful with her. Give her a line. Don't let that line go between your fingers. Don't break that line. And I mean, it was pretty hectic for a second there. And he gets his fish up. And I look below the ice. And there's two big eyes just cruising below the ice. So I got down there, you know, and he pulled it up the hole. And I said, okay, start pulling up the hole. And I reached down and I grabbed the fish. I pulled it up, 26-inch walleye.
Wow. That's great.
So, you know, his wife was taking video, you know, and the kids were all excited. And so it really kind of made their half-day adventure on a lake of the woods come to fruition. But that was kind of cool. You know, we had a community meeting last night, and we live-streamed it on Facebook just talking about, you know, the different aspects of our big event coming here at the end of the year. And then of course, coming up this part of the week, towards the end of the week here, you know, we're welcoming Clam and the Ice Team University up to Lake of the Woods. They're actually going to be over at Arneson's Rocky Point. And there's, my understanding is about 150 people. And what Clam does, it's really kind of neat, Brett. They actually have an Ice Team University where people can sign up for it. And if you happen to sign up for this, of course, there's a fee, you know, you'll be fishing 2 days with different Clam pros. And then at night you come in and have dinner and such. And then in evenings, these Clam pros actually give seminars on ice fishing. How fun would that be?
Oh yeah, sure. I could, first of all, I realized I'm doing it all wrong if that guy caught a 26-inch walleye like that. So it seems like that's the way it always happens. I need to change tactics and gear apparently, but I could probably learn a few things from these Clam guys, I bet.
Oh, you know, and well, I'll tell you, you know, they, like anything else in life, you know, the more you know, the more you realize you don't know.
Yeah.
And there's so many little tips and tricks and nuances. And, you know, I'm going to have the opportunity to get into a fish house, I think, with Dave Gens, the godfather of ice fishing. And, you know, just there's many other pros that are just very, very, very passionate about the sport. And, you know, you always learn something. Plus, you develop relationships, and it's just neat rubbing elbows with anybody who likes to ice fish. And, you know, we're kind of winding down the season up here at Lake of the Woods, and, you know, it's getting to that point where this could be kind of a nice way to wind her up. This will probably be my last time on ice this year.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what. Joe Henry, our guest, Sporting Journal Radio, by the way, with Lake of the Woods Tourism, talking about Lake of the Woods. He's up on the Rainy right now. I wanted to fish. I'm in western Minnesota by Lac Parle. I wanted to fish in a bad, bad way this week. And I drove all over our lake, which gets a lot of pressure in the winter. It's not a Lake of the Woods sized lake, but it's not a small lake, and it gets a lot of pressure. The crappie fishing's usually halfway decent. And there were two portables that somebody with a snowmobile, I think, had gone out there. I drove all the way around. All the accesses were drifted in. And the one access that was there was tough to get on. So I was I was thinking about making a trip to Lake of the Woods. I was going to try to find, even if I had to drive all night, get up there, fish, and turn around and drive back home. I was anxious to do it. And I don't think there's many places you can get out right now where it's not a sloppy mess, Joe.
Exactly. Well, you know, so we, you know, there's some of our, it's all mixed because some of our resorts said, you know, we had this forecast of this big upcoming storm and I think it's going to miss us. But with that forecast, you know, some of the resorts actually pulled their houses for the year. Yet we do have some resorts that still have fish houses out and they're going to keep on fishing. And, you know, I saw a couple of videos this morning of some of the resorts that are still fishing and, you know, they actually, the roads looked real good. And then there's some other resorts that are using track vans. And their trails that they use looked very, very good. So, you know, my suggestion would be if you ever come up to Lake of the Woods, you need to call ahead first. Make sure that where you want to go is operating. And then use the resort roads, use the resort's equipment. You know, lean on the resorts this time of year because I cannot tell you the stories I'm hearing about people going off on their own and getting stuck in slush.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden it's a 2-3 hour deal. With ice cold water up to your knees trying to get out. And you just really need to lean on these resorts that have the infrastructure and the manpower and the equipment power to get you out if you get stuck. And you know, if you're on their trails, if you're on their roads, you're going to be in good shape.
Well, I can imagine because I'm about to launch my boat in the backyard just to get out of my house here pretty soon.
Well, you've had rain down there, you know, and of course that rain combined with melting that snow, and this is that time of the year where the ground is frozen and, you know, there's nowhere for that water to go.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, speaking of this transition from winter to spring and when that rain comes and starts breaking down that snow and breaking that ice free, that's when people start to get excited about that rainy up there, Joe.
Oh, they do. They do. You know, it's funny because not only does that water flowing into the system get those fish moving a little bit, but I'll tell you, just the length of day, and we've already seen the big pike are rolling real good right now. The people that are fishing with tip-ups are catching a lot of big, big pike right now. On top of it, the Rainy River, you know, things are going to start happening. You know, I'll give you an example. I was over in front of Rainy River Resort here recently, and I looked out in the Rainy, and there was one little area that was getting, it was kind of like a dark hole. And I don't know if that was just a sinkhole in slush or if that was the water. I can tell you, I know they're letting a lot of water out of the dam that comes out of Rainy Lake to draw down Rainy for flooding and stuff and potential flooding. You know, they want to be able to take that water down, okay, that melts. And there's a lot of current. There's been a lot of current all winter. So I don't know, of course, only Mother Nature knows, but with all that weight on the ice on the Rainy River, and that pushing that ice down into that current, and the current's increased. And I can tell you, I know for a fact, we have not had the thickness of ice on the Rainy that we do most years because we've had the current all year. You know, it's possible that Rainy could be popping fairly early this year. But again, only time will tell.
Yeah.
When it does, of course, you know what? Walleye fish on the Rainy River through April 14th. And of course, in addition to that, people love that early season sturgeon fishing.
Yeah, for sure. And I'm excited about it. I will say the way winter was going, Joe, I didn't know what that Rainy was going to be like when that ice was going to come off. And obviously you just never know, but,
you don't know. You don't know. It's a guess, isn't it? Every year.
Yeah, it is. But I know we've talked about this, you know, every week, obviously on the radio show. And the more we talk about it, the more I wonder, just with that higher water, the more current, maybe that ice is kind of getting chewed away and we might actually get some good fishing on the river here yet this year.
I talked to a local who was fishing recently, and he was telling me he was getting some fish on the river. And, you know, we don't promote the river during that winter season just because there's good areas and there's thin ice areas, and we don't want anybody to get in trouble. But he said he was fishing with a lot of current catching fish. And I asked him how much ice he was fishing over, and where he was fishing, there's only 6.5 inches. Hmm. Well, then I spoke to somebody else who went fishing, out of Timber Mill Park out in front of, Bidette there. And, you know, they said there's only a little over about a foot. So that's, you know, for all the cold weather we've had, that's not a ton of ice.
Yeah. Yeah. That's interesting. You know, and not to talk about a different lake here with you, Joe, but you know, we fished Lake Superior last week, and it's such a, doesn't happen very often. It's such a unique thing. And you talk about not knowing what the ice is going to be like. Walk out on Lake Superior. You just never know what it's going to be like. But we had current. And it was funny as we noticed as the cloud cover changed, the current would change. And it was interesting. And at one point we had to drill a hole 5 feet down current, I guess you'd say, down current to drop our transducer down because we were fishing in 130 feet of water. And to see our jig down at the bottom fishing for a lake trout in 130 feet of water with that current, we had to drop our transducer a good 5 feet away from us down current. It was interesting. I'd never fished like that before.
Wow, that is crazy. You know, we've done that before when I fished on the Rainy River as well, where I've had a drill hole. In fact, when I drill a hole for fishing, I actually drill the hole at an angle downstream.
Oh, sure. Sure.
So that when I pull the walleyes up, you know, I got a better angle to get them up that hole. And yeah, we've done the same thing too. Yeah. And that's actually true. When you ever fish on current, obviously you got to be in safe ice, but you set your fish house up so that you're fishing, all your holes are fishing the same direction downstream. You wouldn't want to put them sideways because your hole in the left's line would go into your hole in the right's line. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah.
So you got to set that way. How'd you do fishing?
We caught some herring and some cohos, did not catch any lake trout. But okay. It was just one of those chances. It's not, you know, it doesn't happen. I think this is the most ice we've had since 1996 or something like that on the lake. So it was, or 2004 maybe. I can't remember what the exact years were, but there was guys out there mountain biking, side by sides, snowmobiles, walking their dogs. It was just kind of a neat experience to go up. The fishing was frustrating. I'll be honest. Yeah. But it was a fun afternoon up there. So
great experience. You know, that's one thing about it. You know, sometimes you just got to go out and enjoy the outdoors. And you know what? Hey, sometimes the fishing works out. Sometimes it doesn't work out. But you know, if you got the right attitude, yeah, getting in great outdoors still is a good positive experience, isn't it?
Beats a day at work, as they always say.
It does. It does indeed.
Unless you're working out there.
Exactly. Yep.
Just sometimes what we're doing. Joe Henry, if people want to come up, fish late ice tip-ups for Big Pike or get up there for the rainy or start thinking about summer trips, where can they go to find out more information?
You can check out our Facebook page. It's Lake of the Woods Tourism. Otherwise, check out our website, and that's lakeofthewoodsmn.com.
Help support conservation efforts Friday and Saturday, March 15th and 16th at the Midwest Chapter of the Wild Sheep Foundation's annual banquet and fundraiser. This year's event features speaking seminars from Tom Hoffman, the modern-day mountain man Billy Moles, and more. This year's auction includes sheep tags in North Dakota, South Dakota, and more. Exhibitors get your business in front of their members as well. Friday and Saturday, March 15th and 16th at the Minneapolis Marriott Southwest in Minnetonka. Learn more at MidwestWildSheep.com. That's MidwestWildSheep.com. Sporting Journal Radio is brought to you in part by Pioneer Public Television, producer of Prairie Sportsman with myself, Brett Amundson. Prairie Sportsman celebrates our love of the outdoors as we hunt, fish, and recreate while working to protect our valuable natural resources. Watch Prairie Sportsman Sunday nights at 7:30 on Pioneer Public Television, Thursday nights at 7:30 on KSMQ in the southern part of Minnesota, Saturdays at 2:30 on Lakeland Public Television in the north, or watch reruns Tuesdays and Thursdays on the Minnesota Channel, broadcasting throughout the region, or at PrairieSportsman.org.
No matter how cold, no matter how much snow there is, the perch don't stand a chance.
Fish legendary Devil's Lake for their famous jumbo perch and walleye in the warm comfort of a snow bear at Haybale Heights Campground and Resort. Fishing for perch requires mobility, and you can't get more mobile than a fish house with tracks. The snow bear fleet is on the ice every day at Haybale Heights, and you could be too. Every winter requires a trip to Devil's Lake, and there's no better way to do it than in a snow bear at Haybale Heights. Visit HaybaleHeights.com to book your trip today. If trophy lake trout and monster northern pike are on your list this summer, book a trip to Tazzin Lake Lodge in northwestern Saskatchewan.
Everything from numbers to big fish.
See pictures, videos, and more at TazzinLake.com.
This is quite the fishery.
Our five-star chef will feed you well after a day of chasing giants on Tazzin Lake.
Dream come true.
Get rates, dates, and more of what you can expect.
It could be the best fishing you've ever had in your life.
At TazzinLake.com. That's TazzinLake.com.
Here it is, one of the nicest places in the world, I feel.
The ice is strong and the bite is on. Welcome to the walleye capital of the world. Welcome to Lake of the Woods. With over 50 resorts and motels to stay at, Lake of the Woods is a winter destination trip that deserves to be on every angler's list. Bring the family too. Book a fully guided trip in a heated fish house or do it yourself. Don't leave the snowmobiles at home either. The Lake of the Woods area offers hundreds of miles of groomed trails to spend the day on. Come visit the walleye capital of the world. Come visit Lake of the Woods. Plan your trip at lakeofthewoodsmn.com. That's lakeofthewoodsmn.com.
You're listening to Sporting Journal Radio.
We're back, Sporting Journal Radio. Thanks for tuning in across the Sporting Journal Radio Network. On demand, sportingjournalradio.com, or by subscribing to the podcast. This weekend at the Minneapolis Marriott Southwest in Minnetonka is the Midwest Chapter of the Wild Sheep Foundation's annual banquet and fundraiser. I believe it's 40 years of this, I believe. We'll find out for sure with Nick Negrini is going to join us here on the radio show right now. Nick, how's it going?
It's going well. How are you?
The 40th year of this, is that right?
Yep, it's the 40th year. It's pretty amazing that it's come, you know, from a small group of Midwest guys, and it's now in its 40th year. It's pretty impressive.
When I tell people I'm going to be at the Wild Sheep Foundation banquet in Minneapolis, they're like, we have sheep in Minnesota?
Yeah, it's a question we actually get a lot. It's really funny because the closest sheep to us are going to be in western Dakotas, South Dakota and North Dakota, you know, Badlands area. So on the western side of the Dakotas, exactly. So we don't have them native to our state. We haven't for maybe many, many, many years. Maybe thousands of years ago there were, but it's kind of unknown. But yes, the closest there are the Dakotas.
I was at the banquet a few years back when South Dakota auctioned off their first sheep tag, and that was my first time at your fundraising banquet. I could not believe how much that tag went for.
Yeah, I think last year we actually have three governor's tags. We have two in addition to South Dakota. We also have the North Dakota governor's tag, and we also have one of the Wyoming governor's tags. So we'll have three going off on Saturday night, and they usually bring right around that. You know, it depends on the exact state, but I'd call it 80,000 plus, and we expect right around 100,000 on each of them again this year.
Man, that is that's unbelievable, and it's a really neat thing. So obviously, those are some pretty special tags to get your hands on, and which is why they command that kind of money. But if somebody wants to come out, you're going to have a lot of exhibitors and seminars going on all weekend, aren't you?
We do. And one thing I want to stress is that it's not just about the sheep tags. We have, you know, sheep are, you know, vehicle for which we fund, and that's kind of our baby, as I'll call it. But we have seminars going on about turkey hunting, mountain hunting out west. We have Tom Hoffman coming. He's one of the top archer hunters in the world, in the history of the world. He holds multiple slam records. He was the first person in North America to kill all 29 species. So we have that. We have a 1 p.m. auction on Saturday. We have the Saturday night big headline auction. So we have a jam-packed weekend. And that's not even counting Friday.
Yeah, so that, and obviously people are going to hear this after Friday, so we missed out on what you guys did Friday. And it's Friday and Saturday, we should mention, not Sunday, just Friday and Saturday this weekend.
Correct.
Minneapolis Marriott Southwest, the Midwest chapter of the Wild Sheep Foundation annual banquet and fundraiser. Our guest Nick Negrini here joining us. And what did we miss out on Friday?
Friday, we're going to have another great auction. We have a full 30 items on Friday night, wonderful buffet meal. It starts at 2:00 p.m. People can come down if they're, you know, getting off work and they want to come check it out and register. We're more than willing to take a few walk-ins, but we'll have a great night set Friday night to kind of warm us up for the big deal on Saturday. So it's a great weekend event. It's fun to bring your kids down. It's a great time.
So if people are listening to this Saturday morning and they want to come, events are going to get started right away in the morning around 8 a.m.?
We have registration opens at 8. Breakfast kicks off at 8:30, which is an option people can choose to attend if they'd like. And then we have the first turkey calling seminar starting right at 10 o'clock.
And if people want to come out and they just want to come out and check out all the exhibitors or the seminars, is there a cost for them to get in?
No, they're more than welcome to stop by, walk through. And then obviously, they just can't attend the meals because that's part of the paid event. But they're more than welcome to talk to the exhibitors. They can come sit in the seminar. As far as I'm concerned, I'd love to have them. Just come on out and say hi to us and just find out what it's all about.
All right. So Saturday starting at 8 a.m. And what kind of exhibitors are you going to have there?
We have everything from, we have a couple of great gun manufacturers. We have optics. We have guides from, we have two different guys coming in from South Africa for the event, guides and outfitters. We have some DNR departments. We have just numerous different vendors across the whole board, some gear, some hearing protection, Dakota silencers coming out, just a wide variety. Something for everybody is really what we try to do.
Sure. And a little shameless plug, I'll be there working a booth for Tazen Lake Lodge, a lake trout northern pike destination, fishing destination in northwest Saskatchewan. It's a outfitter I've been working with for the last few years. I'm going to spend pretty much all summer up there this year. I'm pretty excited about it. So you can come out and talk to me and learn a little bit about chasing 60, 70-pound lake trout this summer while you're there. It's the Minneapolis Marriott Southwest in Minnetonka. It's free to get in to see the seminars and check out all the exhibitors there. And then there is a dinner. Now, are there still tickets available for the dinner?
I said we have a few walk-ins available. We're expecting to be sold out about 350 to 360 people. So if you're interested, I'm more than willing to give you my cell number and then get in contact with you and you give me a call and we can see what we can do for them. But I did have some set aside for people showing up and walking in. Absolutely.
Okay. And that's how many people are going to be in the room, 350, 360?
Yep, we'll be pretty much maxing the place out. We have about 40 exhibitors this year, which is up about 10 to 15 from last year. Fantastic silent auction on Saturday night as well, I want to mention. Not to forget about that. We have a first-class auctioneer named Les Olhauser flying in from Denver. We got Steve Kaner, who owns a radio station up in Hayward, as our MC. So Steve really runs the show really well. And it's just going to be a great weekend.
Steve Kaner. Okay. Yep. So is his dad Dick Kaner then?
You know, I don't know that for sure. I don't know his father's name, but
I used to work in Rice Lake, Wisconsin at some radio stations. Kaner is a radio name that goes back a long ways in that neck of the woods up there. So that's interesting.
Yep. So he very well could be his dad. Yeah, that dad. Exactly.
Very cool. Nick Negrini, our guest here, Sporting Journal Radio. Now are you the president of the chapter?
Yes, I am. It's my second year as president, actually. Correct.
Midwest chapter of the Wild Sheep Foundation. And talk about some of the changes that you guys have been implementing at the annual fundraiser and banquet.
Well, we've just been trying to, you know, get more exposure, get more people interested. One thing we want to do is, as part of the conservation effort, is the more people that know about the sheep and the more people that are aware that there's opportunities to hunt them, the better it gets for everybody. Because our goal is to really make, you know, grow the sheep population so we can get more opportunities for your average guy to draw a tag. That's what we're striving for, growing those populations. And similar to the success North America's had with antelope, wild turkeys, and elk, you know, just get those populations back that were decimated. One thing, unfortunately, bighorn sheep suffer from is they're very prone to different disease, one of them being pneumonia, which really wreaks havoc on the population. So a lot of money raised goes towards trying to find a great solution to cure some of these disease issues we have with the sheep.
Yeah, I heard some interesting discussion about wild sheep recently, somewhere along the ways, where there's a little pocket of population here, there's a little population here, and there's been efforts to try to connect the two. But sometimes that can be a bad thing because of disease like that. And if disease spreads from one of the population to the other population, you'd end up wiping out both those populations.
And that's exactly it. So we have to be careful when the different state agencies are doing transplants and collar studies. There's a lot of effort and money put towards making sure that the populations they're collaring are do have a clean bill of health. And if they are susceptible to pneumonia, we keep them away from exactly what you said, the other pockets that are healthy. So there's a couple groups of sheep. One of them is the Montana Breaks Rams, which is kind of in East Central Montana. They're known to be some of the hardiest, strongest sheep there are on the planet. So that's kind of one of the groups that get studied a lot to figure out why they're doing so good versus why are others struggling.
Nick Negrini, a Midwest chapter of the Wild Sheep Foundation, the annual banquet and fundraiser. We should talk about this one more time, happening this weekend. It started Friday. It's going Friday and Saturday, the 15th and 16th at the Minneapolis Marriott Southwest in Minnetonka. Saturday, the 16th, starting at 8 a.m. And then how long does it go on Saturday? How long can people come in for free and just check out the exhibitors and seminars?
Dinner starts about 6, so I'd say free, you can come till early afternoon, 4:30, something like that. Walk around, get to know the guys, talk about a future hunt with our exhibitors. And we do have some, you know, also in addition to that, some great knife manufacturers, just a bunch of good stuff to check out and kind of educate yourself. It's really fun.
I've seen some beautiful knives at that event. And then the taxidermy that I have seen there is second to none. I've seen some just unbelievable taxidermy over there.
Yeah, we have three taxidermists coming in that are bringing a lot of their work. I think all three have won world championship awards. These are the top taxidermists you're going to run into in Minnesota and the upper Midwest. And if you got a special trophy, you should really come talk to Doug, Tom, and Lee and find out what they can do for you.
Very good. Well, again, Minneapolis Marriott Southwest, Midwest Chapter of the Wild Sheep Foundation annual banquet and fundraiser. Nick Negrini, thanks for the time here on Sporting Journal Radio.
I appreciate it. Thanks for the opportunity.
Help support conservation efforts Friday and Saturday, March 15th and 16th at the Midwest Chapter of the Wild Sheep Foundation's annual banquet and fundraiser. This year's event features speaking seminars from Tom Hoffman, the modern-day mountain man, Billy Moles, and more. This year's auction includes sheep tags in North Dakota, South Dakota, and more. Exhibitors get your business in front of their members as well. Friday and Saturday, March 15th and 16th at the Minneapolis Marriott Southwest in Minnetonka. Learn more at MidwestWildSheep.com. That's MidwestWildSheep.com. If trophy lake trout and monster northern pike are on your list this summer, book a trip to Tazon Lake Lodge in northwestern Saskatchewan.
Everything from numbers to big fish.
See pictures, videos, and more at TazonLake.com.
This is quite the fishery.
Our five-star chef will feed you well after a day of chasing giants on Tazon Lake.
Dream come true.
Get rates, dates, and more of what you can expect.
It could be the best fishing you've ever had in your life.
At TazonLake.com. That's TazonLake.com.
Here it is, one of the nicest places in the world, I feel.
No matter how cold, no matter how much snow there is, the perch don't stand a chance.
Fish legendary Devil's Lake for their famous jumbo perch and walleye in the warm comfort of a snow bear at Haybale Heights Campground and Resort. Fishing for perch requires mobility, and you can't get more mobile than a fish house with tracks. The snow bear fleet is on the ice every day at Haybale Heights, and you could be too. Every winter requires a trip to Devil's Lake, and there's no better way to do it than in a snow bear at Haybale Heights. Visit haybaleheights.com to book your trip today.
Welcome to the walleye capital of the world. Welcome to Lake of the Woods. With over 50 resorts and motels to stay at, Lake of the Woods is a winter destination trip that deserves to be on every angler's list. Bring the family too. Book a fully guided trip in a heated fish house or do it yourself. Don't leave the snowmobiles at home either. The Lake of the Woods area offers hundreds of miles of groomed trails to spend the day on. Come visit the walleye capital of the world. Come visit Lake of the Woods. Plan your trip at lakeofthewoodsmn.com. That's lakeofthewoodsmn.com.
Sporting Journal Radio is brought to you in part by Pioneer Public Television, producer of Prairie Sportsman with myself, Brett Amundson. Prairie Sportsman celebrates our love of the outdoors as we hunt, fish, and recreate while working to protect our valuable natural resources. Watch Prairie Sportsman Sunday nights at 7:30 on Pioneer Public Television, Thursday nights at 7:30 on KSMQ in the southern part of Minnesota, Saturdays at 2:30 on Lakeland Public Television in the north, or watch reruns Tuesdays and Thursdays on the Minnesota Channel, broadcasting throughout the region, or at prairiesportsman.org.
You're listening to Sporting Journal Radio.
Hi, this is Sporting Journal Radio, Midwest's radio home for the outdoors. My name is Brett Amundson. Thank you for tuning in. Across the network, online, sportingjournalradio.com, and by subscribing to that podcast and iTunes. Now, our next guest used to check into the show all the time from up around Ely, which is one of my favorite stations up there, W-E-L-Y, Wheely, because, well, I get a lot of listeners from Ely. And I think part of it is because it's a good station. It's a good radio show, of course. Probably the greatest radio show in the history of radio, but I'm biased. But that's the only station up there. So it always helps when it's the only station that people can listen to. People listen to that radio station. So I always hear from Ely. And Ben Putnam used to check in from Ely all the time. He was with Ely Ice Guides. He was with Boundary Waters Outfitters. And he joined me on Lake Superior last weekend. And first of all, Ben, how's it going?
Oh, it's going great.
I appreciate the time here. You're not in Ely anymore.
No. We moved down to St. Paul.
Oh my gosh!
So I miss it up there.
I bet you do. I'm surprised you haven't gone back up to Ely yet.
Me too.
Yeah. Well, maybe get back up there someday. You think?
We'll see. You know, no plans in the books, but not ruling it out either.
Well, I will say, I know you fished all the time and you guided up there, but you've made a pretty good effort to do a lot of fishing around the metro. And I know when we fished together last week, I was telling you about that. You know, I went to high school in Woodbury there, and we just did not fish metro area lakes very much. And you started kind of telling me about this lake and that lake and catching this and doing that. I was like, holy cow, I think I missed out on quite a bit fishing around there.
Well, maybe yes and no. You know, some of the lakes back when I was in high school, you know, there were some really good lakes that are now not very good. And there's some other lakes that were, you know, kind of so-so that have really improved. I mean, I'm surprised by the quality and some of the fish, you know, in the lakes around the metro. I mean, there are some really good lakes around here.
Well, I know they get pounded, and I think that's what always scared me off was the pressure, and you're just going to have that when you have that concentration of people. And I know we're in the land of 10,000 lakes, but there's only so many fishable lakes in the metro area, and a couple million people. It's going to be hard to keep that resource going on a consistent basis year after year after year. And that's why it's nice to be able to get on the road and drive somewhere. And realistically, particularly from the cities, you can get on a major highway or interstate and get to some of those fishable lakes fairly quickly. And Ben, we just did it. We jumped in the truck, and I had to come from Western Minnesota, so it was a long day of driving, but we decided we're going to go up to Lake Superior. We're going to meet Jamie Dittman up there and a few other guys that came with us, and I knew it was going to be a long day, and the next day was going to be a long day. I didn't expect us to stay up as late as we did the night before we went fishing.
and then get up as early as we did the next day. What do we get, like 2.5 hours of sleep?
I don't even know if I got that much crashing in that recliner. I appreciate your buddy letting us crash at his place. And the best part about that story was waking up in the morning and rubbing the sleep out of our eyes and trying to get the caffeine to work a little bit quicker. And we were waiting for it to get a little bit lighter outside. And he had those big windows overlooking Lake Superior. And we were just kind of sitting there in the dark, just imagining just with what the view is like, looking over Lake Superior and how cool it's going to be when the sun comes up and it gets a little bit lighter and we're going to be able to go out there fishing. All of a sudden, he turns off all the interior lights and we could see outside a little bit better. And it's funny how that works. When you turn off the interior lights, you realize it's a little bit brighter outside than you realized.
Yeah, it got us moving a lot faster too, because we're like, oh no, we got to get out of the lake before we miss that morning bite.
We were moving a little slow from staying up the night before, but we were able to go out, and it was, you know, it's such a neat experience to be able to fish on Lake Superior like that on frozen water. But there's quite a bit of ice out there where we were, Ben.
Yeah, you know, I mean, you know, every area is going to be different. I don't want to blow up our secret spot,
right?
But yeah, I mean, you know, we had a lot of variance in the ice too. You know, there's, you know, closer to shore in one area where we started out, I mean, there was some 20 inches of ice there, even more than that. And then, you know, as we kind of moved out from there, I mean, we were hitting, you know, 12, 13. So yeah, I mean, much more ice than I saw the last time I was, you know, walking out from the north shore of Lake Superior. But
you always have to be careful up there, of course, and you never know what the ice is going to be like. There were a couple of times where we were out popping holes, and I know we all kind of went in different directions at one point, and I was drilling holes, and a couple of times I was like, wow, there's a lot of ice down there. Then I'd walk about, you know, 10 yards or whatever and pop another hole and be like, oh, that went through pretty quick. There's not quite as much ice over here as there was in that last spot.
That direction, less ice.
Right. But our plan was to get out there early and try to fish for some herring and some cohos first. And I remember Ben cutting through the ice and we were all kind of dropping down. And I was like, man, I got a lot of interference on my graph here. And I don't know, I've never fished Lake Superior. Maybe there's a lot going on down there. I don't know. Water looks kind of clear. What the heck is happening? And finally dropped the camera down and it was like we were being invaded by a sea of herring.
It was a cloud. Yeah.
So that was kind of fun. And you know, I was telling people about it, like, you were catching herring? Well, how big were they? I'm like, a lot bigger than I expected. And to me it was like fishing for crappies.
Yeah, I can see that, you know, especially with their, you know, that they're all just kind of sitting there, and then, you know, you'll have a couple that'll turn on and go after your bait, you know. So yeah, it's definitely a lot like fishing over a big school of crappies.
Yeah, I mean, they weren't, obviously the school is a little bit bigger and they were maybe a little bit shallower, but going over suspended fish like that, because we were in what, 40 feet of water, and a lot of those fish were anywhere from, you know, 5, 10, 15 to maybe 20 feet. They're kind of in that, you know, upper third of the water column, I suppose, somewhere around there. And then you were kind of jigging them up, Ben.
Yeah, that seemed to be, you know, the way to get the reaction out of them was to pull them out of the school and, you know, isolate one of those fish and then battle that fish one-on-one with your spoon. So because, yeah, I mean, if you drop down into that whole school, you know, they just sit and you know, they wouldn't even really look at it. You know, every single fish would just be swimming around and practically ignoring that spoon. So I think getting it above them, you know, triggers those fish that might have some curiosity to leave the pack, and then you can isolate that fish and win.
You discovered a secret technique of catching herring.
And if I went back out tomorrow, I'm sure I'd have to rediscover that technique all over again. Because it just sort of happened, you know. I mean, you know, the fish just, I don't know, one fish responded one way to the way I was presenting that spoon, and it clicked, you know. And after 50 fish that didn't click, you know, that one clicked, and then, you know, the next one that kind of acted like that fish clicked that same pattern. So it was just by chance and being able to replicate, you know, what you had to do to trigger that strike and to get that fish aggressive.
Yeah, but the secret was not the spoon, not the color, not even the jigging motion. It was all about the swivel.
Yeah, yeah. It really was. I almost forgot about that. That is how I picked off half of them. So let's explain the swivel. So these fish would come in, and I've got a digital Markham, so I can see my spoon and my swivel on my screen. And when an active fish would actually pull out of that pack, most of the time it would actually chase up after the swivel. So it would completely pass my spoon and be going after my swivel. And so I'd rip my spoon up ahead of it and jiggle it again, and then I'd be able to get it to smack the spoon. So if you're not fishing with a swivel when you're going after herring, you might want to reconsider.
So looking back on that, do you think maybe downsizing? Maybe we should have gone to something like a little tungsten or something, or some sort of smaller presentation?
I did downsize early on when we were over, after you cameraed and we confirmed that those were the herring, I actually downsized to a tungsten, plastic. I tried that whole gamut and I couldn't even get a fish's interest. Hmm. It seemed like, I had an eighth ounce, silver and blue spoon, that just, by default happened to be the one that worked that first time. And I use a different spoon later, and I'd say it was pretty much the same reaction. You get him to go after the swivel, and you can catch that fish.
Ben Putnam, our guest here, Sporting Journal Radio, talking about our time up on Lake Superior last weekend. And those herring, so I dropped the camera down. We discovered that they were herring. And I remember Matt Brookman, who is with us too, he's like, well, how big are those fish? And I'm like, gosh, it's hard to tell on the camera. I've been deceived before, depending on how close the fish is to the camera. And I was like, gosh, and it's herring. You don't think of them being very big. And then you pulled that first one up through the ice. I couldn't believe how big it was.
Yeah, I mean, those were, 18 to probably 21-inch fish. They were, I was impressed too, because when you look back, if you look back at the footage, and I'm sure you'll have that posted somewhere, it's insane. Those fish look like they're maybe 12, 14 inches.
Yeah, right. I caught a walleye on Mille Lacs one time, and I was jigging right next to my camera, and this walleye just came in and smoked it. And I hadn't seen anything but little perch all day, so I was just jacked. I got this walleye, set the hook on it, didn't feel any weight. I pulled it up, it was 4 inches long. It looked a lot bigger on the camera than it did when it came out of the ice. But
it put those perch that you couldn't catch into perspective too, didn't
yeah,
it?
That's right. Yeah. Well, I hope you get back up to Ely sometime. We should go up there and just do some fishing anyway, of course. It was such a great time when we went up there and chased fish around with the dog sleds. We should do that again sometime. Ben Putnam, formerly Boundary Waters Outfitters, Ely Ice Guides. Thanks for the time here on Sporting Journal Radio.
Hey, thanks for having me, Brett.
Also, my thanks to Nick Negrini from the Midwest Chapter of the Wild Sheep Foundation, Curtis Blake from Haybale Heights Campground and Resort, and Joe Henry. Thank you to all my sponsors, and thank you for listening. We'll see you next week. You've been listening to Sporting Journal Radio, the Midwest's radio home for the outdoors. To listen to the show again, go to sportingjournalradio.com or download the podcast in your podcast app or iTunes. Find us on Facebook. Search for Sporting Journal Radio.